Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 8, Number 12. Last month, I introduced the concept of e-training, a highly integrated program that incorporates every known element of fitness, including power, speed, strength, balance, cardio, coordination, agility, stamina, and flexibility. You know, when you ask yourself, what else is there? This is all-encompassing. It's a balanced blend of principles and action derived from natural bodybuilding, powerlifting, Olympic lifting, stretching, sprint training, barefoot training, swimming, and meditation, and more. You just keep adding to it. What makes e-training truly unique is its emphasis on whole food nutrition and controlling our emotions. Positive emotions, if dominated, combined with logic, I believe, is the key to success and self-mastery. The E in e-training stands for eclectic. Eclectic implies an intelligent selection of what is deemed most effective from a wide variety of reliable sources. Make sure your sources are reliable. An eclectic approach selects and uses the best elements of all known systems combined. So it is truly holistic and strives for balance. Now, as this is the last edition of Clinical Review for 2009, I'd like to end on a sweet note. So I'm going to talk about apitherapy and the nutritional benefits of eating honey. Now, apitherapy describes the application and self-treatment of products from the beehive, such as pollen, bee bread, honey, royal jelly, propolis, bee venom. And although certain individuals can be allergic to these products, most people can use them without fear to the betterment of their personal health. These natural substances are used as staples by millions of consumers, probably billions of consumers throughout the world, as food and nutritional supplements, as they have earned a reputation for energy, inner healing, and restoration. While apitherapy encompasses use or consumption of many unique bee products, the term is commonly associated with bee venom therapy. Bee venom therapy is claimed to be of use in arthritis, bursitis, and tendonitis. You notice the itis, the inflammation. It is also used to treat heart problems, chronic pain, and dissolve scar tissue. It's also been used to treat viral infections, including herpes zoster. The exact origins of apitherapy can be traced back to ancient Egypt, Greece, and China. Use of honey and other bee products can be traced back thousands of years, and healing properties are included in many religious texts. So the reference to using these different products from the bee world are actually in the Veda, the Bible, and the Quran. So we know that these natural substances have been part of man's diet for a long time. Bee venom therapy has a very interesting application in natural biological medicine. The active component of the venom is melitin, which has a powerful anti-inflammatory action. However, bee venom is a complex mix of a variety of peptides and proteins, some of which have strong neurotoxic and immunogenic effects. Traditionally, the venom was administered with live bees by stimulating them to sting in the infected area, trigger points, or acupuncture points. Depending on the nature of the disease, the standard venom can be used in a cream, liniment, ointment, or by injection. Bee venom is most effective when it comes directly from the live bee during the late spring to early fall season, when bees have a good pollen source to produce potent venom. So look at that, the connection of their diet to what they produce. You know, we are what we eat eats idea. So trace everything back from beginning to end, and you can see that whatever they're getting access to is what we're going to get access to from the stuff that they produce. The outcome, the functional steps that lead to outcome. Their venom during the winter period is less potent. So timing, that also relates to nutrition as well. The timing, the seasons, the fertility of soil, all that stuff. So next to the effect of being stung by a live bee, injectable venom solution is considered to be a standard method to administer. Venom solution is prepared from pure bee venom and is a homeopathic preparation. It is administered intradermally, just between the skin layers, or subcutaneously under the skin to imitate the effect of a bee sting. Each injection is equivalent to the average dry venom sac content of a honeybee. Bee venom is also used topically in various liniments and ointments, of course. Now, another wonderful substance from the bees is bee pollen. Bees collect flower pollen. They mix this with nectar to make up pellets that are carried into the beehive. These pellets contain billions of pollen grains, which provide a vast concentration of vitamins and trace elements and such factors as amino acids, calcium, keratin, copper, enzymes, iron, magnesium, manganese, polyunsaturated fatty acids, potassium, sodium, plant sterols, simple sugars, the B complex vitamins, and of course vitamin C, as well as many antibiotic and various growth factors. Bee pollen contains up to 30% protein, so it's a good source of protein. It's a high quality source of protein. It's an excellent enhancer of energy and endurance and has different antimicrobial effects. I'm convinced that fresh raw bee pollen is one of nature's greatest foods. Over the decades, I've seen hundreds of people and clients and friends benefit from using pollen, and I really think that it has important value as a definite superfood. Fresh raw bee pollen collects mold and spoils easy. The best pollen is delivered from a freezer to the retailer and then refrigerated. So make sure your bee pollen is soft. Beekeepers will often air dry the pollen to increase its shelf life. And because this is done, the end product has lost much of its nutritional value due to oxidation and exposure to light. So when you buy your pollen, if you're buying it from the shelf and it's not refrigerated, it's going to be pre-oxidized to stabilize it, but it's going to lose a lot of its value. Pollen should be soft and flaky, and it should melt in your mouth. It shouldn't be crunchy. It should dissolve easily in liquid. Avoid the hard, crunchy pollen packaged in plastic bags sitting on the shelf without refrigeration. For the best possible product, ensure its source, quality, and freshness, and keep it refrigerated. We keep ours in the freezer and add a heaping tablespoon to our protein shakes. You can also add it, say, to oatmeal, or just eat it straight. You just get a scoop of it and put it in your mouth and dissolve it in the mouth and swish it around and swallow it, and it actually tastes pretty good. Another fantastic product from the world of bees is a black, sticky, waxy, resinous substance called propolis. It's one of my favorite antibiotics and is an excellent remedy for colds, infections, sports injuries, tissue repair, gangrene, gum disease, bronchitis, strep throat, herpes, and sore throat. Good for infection. The bees don't use propolis as a food generally. Instead, they use it like mortar to reinforce each cell and to strengthen the entire structure of the hive. It's also used to mend the hive if damaged by an enemy or the forces of nature. Apparently, propolis also functions as a welcome mat outside the hive, where each bee uses it as a foot wipe before entering the hive, which is kind of cool. Propolis comes from the Greek, meaning defenses before a town. Aristotle is credited for coining the term. Pro means in front of, and polis means city. So propolis. The bees collect propolis as a resin or sap from the buds of certain trees and flowers as they collect pollen, especially poplar trees. It is then combined with excretions from their own glandular system, forming the end product responsible for maintaining the excellent state of sanitation within the hive. Now, if it connects with sanitation, that's a good thing. Putting this stuff in your body means it's going to create a biologically sterile environment, meaning that it's going to have an opposing effect against the enemy. Propolis contains a natural antibiotic substance called galangin, which is credited for its antiseptic, antifungal, and bacterial properties that's in this gummy stuff. Its analysis revealed a composition of resins, wax, pollen, and organic materials. It's available as a tincture in a base of alcohol, a purified desiccated powder, and also comes in lozenges, capsules, and tablets. If you've got a sore throat, get some propolis lozenges. Mix that with some zinc and some vitamin A. Great treatment. Comb honey contains a small percentage of propolis. Propolis is also added to bulk raw honey by beekeepers and consumed by the teaspoon as a general tonic. And finally, of course, my favorite is honey. Ending off on a sweet note here. I love honey, and I add a big tablespoon to my workout shakes, pre and post workout. I put it in everything, and I just think that raw honey from nature is an incredible health food. It helps with energy, it stabilizes blood sugar, it helps with glycogen replenishment. There's more science coming out now on honey. White table sugar and honey are definitely not to be compared. You can count the calories, and if you're a calorie counter, you're probably going to end up not being well. You got to count quality. You got to count nutritional value. You got to count intrinsic factors. You got to count the connection of food to the environment and to your genes. Now, raw honey, the good stuff, not the processed type, not the refined processed dead sterile honey, but the raw, unfiltered, unpasteurized honey is antiseptic, antibiotic, antifungal, and antibacterial. Raw honey is the only natural food in the world that cannot spoil. Now that tells you how good this stuff is. If it does not spoil, then it must have something in it, perhaps that we can't even identify, that's preventing it from spoiling. Now, that value, that intrinsic factor, when taken inside the body, I think that's part of the virtue of honey and its healing value, but you can't say that about any other food. Just take any food, put it on the table, and watch what happens. It will decompose, it'll rot, it'll change. But honey just crystallizes, but it doesn't go bad. You could eat honey that was 10,000 years old. So the unheated honey is cloudy as soon as it's extracted, and this cloudiness gradually increases day by day if you just let it sit. And this is what causes the honey to crystallize as the honey thickens. Now, unprocessed honey has been used worldwide for millennia to promote healing. It's an excellent reconstructive and tonic. A spoonful a day is recommended to anyone with anemia or dyspepsia, to the aged or convalescing. It is said that no food or drug can equal its restorative properties, especially if the honey is raw and laced with propolis and pollen. See, the raw honey from the hive has got all the impurities in it. So you don't want pure honey, you want impure honey. That's the best one. The best honey also is from the honeycomb. And I used to have this old guy come in the health food store, and he was like close to 100. And I said, "What's your secret?" He says, "I eat a chunk of bee pollen in my honey, mixed in the honeycomb." And he would just take a chunk of that honeycomb and bite it and suck on and eat it, get the waxes in his teeth and everything. It was just amazing. So that kind of inspired me as a young pup when I first started. I think I was 17 when I met this guy. He's probably passed away a long time ago. Who knows? Maybe it's preserving him as well. But honey is good stuff. We can use it to treat allergies, skin rashes, burns, abrasions. It has a natural laxative value if you're constipated because it's a natural lubricant. Its fatty acid content stimulates peristalsis. Honey is also used to treat gastric catarrh, hyperacidity, gastric and duodenal ulcers, and even gallbladder disease. Now, here's some science. Researchers from the University of Waikato, New Zealand, studied whether honey could benefit patients infected with H. pylori bacterium, a known cause of gastric ulcers. Within 3 days of administration, the honey stopped the growth of the bacterium colonies. And I remember when this came out, it was absolutely amazing. H. pylori was identified, and here
we had a treatment from the biological closet of nature, and it was this special type of honey from New Zealand called Manuka honey. Now, Dr. Peter Molin of the Honey Research Unit at the University of Waikato in Hamilton, New Zealand, has studied the effects of Manuka honey in the healing process. His research demonstrates that all raw honey contains hydrogen peroxide produced by enzymes in the honey. So that's really cool. These enzymes are easily destroyed, however, by exposure to heat and light and also by contact with body fluids. So there again, we're reminded that nature, with all her value and beauty, also generates the forces that contaminate and corrupt food over time because of oxidation and exposure to light. Light's a good thing, but too much exposure over time to food causes the food to deteriorate and lose its micronutrient value. So that's why food has got to be fresh. Now, certain raw honeys have a natural antibacterial action that is separate to the peroxide effect, resulting in a much more persistent and stable antibacterial action. And also remember this, not all honey is the same. It doesn't have the same level of peroxides, doesn't have the same antibacterial action. Different batches in this research unit they've discovered can vary as much as 100-fold. So that reminds me of the differences in you and I. You know, we're all genetically unique, and we can create different outcomes. So when we inspire our genes to express themselves using the foods and the exercise practice that is called our life, we create a phenotype. That's the outcome of what we are generating. That's what our genes are producing. So if we want to change the outcome without changing the genome, which we can't really do, it gets damaged over time. That's part of the problem of life and aging. But we want our genes to stimulate the best possible outcome. And that is why whole food, real food, honey, propolis, these wonderful natural therapies from nature, when you understand them, when you know how to apply them, when you experiment with them, because your life is an experiment, we're all looking for better ways to do everything so that the outcome called our life is something that we can enjoy better. And that is ultimately the goal with natural health and this whole philosophy of natural biological medicine. It's to stay well. It's to find wellness, to manage wellness, and stay well as long as possible. And you can't do that without understanding the application of nature and the connection that nature has to us as part of it. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from the best-selling book in the world, otherwise known as the Bible, specifically Proverbs 24, verse 13. My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste.